Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the titles we have of Jesus is Prince of Peace, but he doesn't sound very peaceable in today's gospel reading, does he? But I think what he's doing is he's preparing his disciples for the fact that his presence causes division. But I suppose we need to dive in a little deeper to that. What is it about Jesus that causes division? After all, there were other teachers in his time. There were other people that considered themselves prophets, and even others that considered themselves as miracle workers. But what is it about Jesus that caused the authorities to scheme to trip him up and eventually to have him arrested and crucified? Well, I would dare say it was because Jesus chose to follow God's will. And he's warning his disciples that following God's will cause divisions, even amongst your family. We had an example of following God's will in the first reading. So the princes go to King Zedekiah and say, "You know what, this prophet Jeremiah, he keeps preaching about how the city's going to be overrun and how the city's going to be destroyed and everything, and we just think he needs to be shut up." And when they say that, they mean killed. And so King Zedekiah says, "He's in your hands, do with him what you will." And so they arrest him and lower him into that cistern where he begins to sink in the mud. And of course, their plan is to leave him there until he starves to death. But then one man, Abed-Melech, goes to the king. Now, it's important to realize who this man was. The princes, on the one hand, are a part of the royal court because of their birthright. They were born into the right family to be a part of the royal court. But Abed-Melech is a foreigner. He is an official in the court only because of what he can do for the king. Maybe he was in charge of the king's treasury, keeping track of all of the debts that people owed the king. But whatever the case was, he had a job and a responsibility that he was putting in danger by going to the king against these princes. And he was probably also putting his freedom at risk as well. But he decided to follow God's will and to plead on behalf of the prophet Jeremiah to the king. And the king listened to him and granted his request, and thus the prophet Jeremiah was spared that day. You know, this past Thursday, we celebrated the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. Mary is a great example of someone who followed God's will. We have that beautiful story of the angel coming to her and explaining what her part is going to be in God's plan of salvation, and Mary, of course, consenting, giving her yes to that role. But there is no doubt that Mary agreeing to follow God's will caused division in her life. We only have to look at her betrothed, Joseph. Now, the gospel talks about when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he decided to divorce her quietly. But I dare say it probably wasn't a quiet discussion behind closed doors when Mary first told him about this. I'm sure Joseph was probably saying, "An angel told you all this? How is this happening?" At the very least, the fact that he was willing to divorce her was showing that division was already coming into her life because she was following God's will. And it was only after an angel appeared in a dream to Joseph that he took Mary into his home to make her his wife. But it didn't stop there. Because Mary followed God's will, she, her husband, and their newborn son had to flee to Egypt to live in exile for so many years, away from her family, away from her friends, away from her community, all because she chose to follow God's will. Tradition has it that Joseph died before Jesus entered his public ministry, so Mary now finds herself a widow, and it's Jesus' responsibility to care for her as the only son. And Mary's enjoying a nice, quiet life in the village of Nazareth when all of a sudden Jesus announces he's going to begin his public ministry, and now she has to follow him all over the place, and even to this noisy seaside community of Capernaum. Once again, Mary's life is disrupted. Division occurs because she followed God's will. But that was never more apparent when she saw her son being arrested, beaten, and then crucified and dying on that cross. Mary witnessed, lost everything that day because she followed God's will. Following God's will can cause division. The good news is that St. Paul assures us that there is a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses are the saints in heaven. Men and women who followed God's will to the best of their ability. They are praying for us and praying that we will do the same. Because all of us are called to be saints. All of us are called to be holy because all of us are called to follow God's will. Now, doing so will cause division because the Christian message is not accepted in our society. It will cause division. It will not be accepted. It will cause isolation. But ultimately, we are still called to follow God's will because it will eventually lead us to eternal life in heaven. And so, my dear friends, as we continue this celebration of the Eucharist, we are called to continue the work of becoming holy as God is holy, to continue to work on becoming a saint. And we pray to the Holy Spirit that when God reveals his will to us, we will have the courage to say, "Thy will be done."